This is Jay Sekulow. We've got a special report with our team from Jerusalem.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Alongside Egypt and Jordan, with whom we've already made peace, others in the Arab world are moving forward. They recognize that Israel is not their enemy, but their indispensable ally in fighting militant Islam. They view Israel as their partner for ensuring a peace and a future and security and prosperity.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It's time that the Palestinians will embrace this approach too. And if they do, they will find in Israel and in me an enthusiastic partner for building a peaceful and prosperous future for both our peoples. It's within our reach.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. And this is a special broadcast because we've got our team from our office in Jerusalem here in our media center. So I want to first start by welcoming not only our audience from around the country and around the world, but also welcome our Director General, Rami Levy, who's been with us on this. You've heard him many, many times. First time a lot of you are seeing him. Rami, of course, runs our office in Jerusalem. Rami and I have been working together for almost two decades, a long time. David Benjamin is senior counsel for the ACLJ's office in Jerusalem, also works with the Israeli Defense Forces, an expert on international law. David's been on the broadcast again many times, but first time in the studio. So great to have both of you here. Stuart Roth, of course, senior counsel, one of the founders of the ACLJ, and has done a lot of work in our office in Israel. I want to start with letting everybody know what the broadcast is about today. We will take your calls on the issue of Israel. And in this context, your support for Israel, we think, is critical. There's a lot of issues going on right now. One issue that is getting not as much attention as it deserves is that $18 million of the United Nations budget has been allocated to the Palestinian Authority for the purposes of engaging in what's called lawfare. That is taking Israel to international tribunals. We've handled those cases at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Remember this, the United States funds about 22% of the UN budget. So almost at least $3.5 million of that money going to the Palestinian Authority to sue Israeli organizations and pro-Israel groups is being funded by us, the American taxpayer. We'll take your calls on all of this. We want to know about your support for Israel at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me start with this. This is the 100th anniversary of what's called the Balfour Declaration. That was a declaration issued by Lord Balfour, James Balfour, to Lord Rothschild, and that was regarding the establishment of a Jewish state. It was on November 2nd, 1917. It reads as follows. It's to dear Lord Rothschilds, I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with the Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours sincerely, Arthur James Balfour. That declaration has created a body of literature and a body of law. I mean, just two paragraphs, and it has created a well-known body of law. Jordan, go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. So I think on this 100th anniversary, and as Israel approaches 70 years of independence as well, we just celebrated the 50-year reunification of Jerusalem over the summer. So a lot of key moments happening right now for the Jewish state of Israel. I mean, again, Balfour Declaration, the 100 years, the 70 years of Israel as a Jewish state, 50 years of Israel with its heart, Jerusalem, as its capital, all within this last year.
All right, so we come back from the break. We'll be joined by our experts from our offices in Jerusalem, and we will also take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We want to know what you think about the situation for Israel, support of Israel, 1-800-684-3110. Let me also tell you this. We don't talk about it as often as we should, but we have a full operating office right in the heart of Jerusalem, dealing with Israel, but also the region. We're going to get into all of that when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I read for you the Balfour Declaration, which was one of the founding documents for the what we would call the modern state of Israel. But there's a lot of happening in the region. We're joined in our studios today by David Benjamin, senior counsel for the ACLJ in our Jerusalem office, Rami Levy, who, of course, is our director general in our office in Jerusalem, Stuart Roth, one of our founders and one of the lawyers that does a tremendous amount of work in our offices around the world, but also in Jerusalem. And Jordan, of course, is with me as well. I want to start with and we're taking your calls, of course, at 1-800-684-3110. Let's talk about first, I think this is important. We mentioned this briefly when we were talking to our Facebook and Periscope audience, but Rami, I think it's important for everybody to know. Iran is playing a very pronounced and different role in the region than it has, but there's a historical connection. You were talking about this 2,500 years ago, Iran dominated the region. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Exactly. Well, you know, when we look at the nation's capabilities and the nation's intentions, if you connect them, the two together, then you see what the threat is. The threat of Iran is the fact that the intentions of the leaders, as they've said it many times, is to destroy the state of Israel and to rule the entire Middle East and get to the Mediterranean. If you look at the actions, the Iran is using proxies. They have two different approaches. One is to the south, to Yemen, to the Houthis, who are Shiites, and the other one, they're going through Iraq, to Syria, to Lebanon, and Saudi Arabia is right in the middle. What's happening now with the Iran is that the intentions are being exposed, the puzzle is seen, and the Sunni countries, Saudi Arabia, and the Gulf countries and Jordan understand that if they don't, they're not going to work together with Israel, they're the next ones to be blocked and taken over by Iran.
Yeah, but David, you also have a unique situation right now that I keep talking about, and that is you have Shia Iran in partnership with Sunni Hamas, which makes, because normally they're fighting with each other, the Sunni-Shia split, but they've got their common enemy here.
They make strange bedfellows. Hamas has been shopping for support around the Middle East. It was, for a while, it had Turkey. For a while, it had Qatar. For various reasons, these countries have backed off. Iran was supporting Hamas a while back, and it seems that Hamas has gone back into the, let's call it, the clutches of Iran.
Yep.
And it suits Iran very well to have this outpost here. It adds just another front that Israel has to face of Iran. In fact, almost from all sides.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the kind of the dimensional aspect of this. When you think about the Middle East, you got to think nine-dimensionally because Israel's defending its borders on every border. I mean, it's not just one side here. But, Stuart, we've seen over the last 10 years and we've been going over to Israel a lot and doing a lot of work over there for decades, that the alliances that have been developed over the last, I would say, 2 years, 3 years, within the Gulf states and some of the other portions of the world, have made, as David said, kind of interesting bedfellows. That you've got the Gulf states and Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia in basically partnership with Israel because of the Iranian threat.
Well, absolutely, because Israel's two problems on both sides of the country are Hezbollah and Hamas, the two terrorist groups that are being supported by Shiite Iran. Well, that creates an alliance, a natural alliance between Israel and Egypt, and Egypt also has a Hamas issue, and Israel and Saudi Arabia. So it's bringing those countries closer together. And Egypt and Saudi Arabia will be the key. If there's going to be any peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, it's going to be because of pressure put upon the Palestinians by Saudi Arabia and Egypt,
you know,
because
it's an Iran issue. Benjamin Netanyahu just addressed this yesterday about the Balfour Declaration. He gave a Balfour speech, but he talked about Egypt and Jordan. Take a listen.
Alongside Egypt and Jordan, with whom we've already made peace, others in the Arab world are moving forward. They recognize that Israel is not their enemy, but their indispensable ally in fighting militant Islam. They view Israel as their partner for ensuring a peace and a future and security and prosperity.
We are developing this issue for a long time. Our last major book we had was called Unholy Alliance. It was about Syria, Iran, and Russia. Our most current book that'll be coming out in the spring is called Why Israel Matters, and it's not available yet, but it gets into this whole issue. So this will be the third installment of a series we did. One was Rise of ISIS, the second was Unholy Alliance. The final book in that trilogy of books is the Why Israel Matters. And you look at these issues, folks, and understand that it's complex. It is a complex environment in the Middle East, and it's made more complex when you've got these different factions and factors coming in. So we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, we do have some comments coming in first. Sylvia on Facebook asked that common question, which is, should we just stop funding the UN? I think we answered that pretty quickly, which is the U.S. is not going to give up its veto power at the UN Security Council. Yep. To stop the really bad actions. It's one thing to look at the General Assembly resolutions, even the $18 million that we've talked about, but ultimately we have a power to veto on our own unilaterally any kind of really military action that the UN may take. On that, we can also build alliances. So I don't think we're going to stop funding. There are elements within the UN, like pulling out of UNESCO. That's what you do. You send signals like that individually. And I think we can answer, again, Yolanda's question, also this is an interesting one, are our tax dollars funding the Palestinians?
You took about a half a billion dollars a year, and that's direct. That's not through the United Nations. That's direct. And that U.S. aid has generally had not a lot of strings attached to it. So, you bring up this idea, and we'll get into in the next segment of the broadcast, is kind of allowing funding to fight us in court. But the Palestinian Authority right now, I think it's important for Rami, you first, then David. This is not one unified government. It's a coalition government between basically Hamas and Fatah. But let's define who they are, first of all. That when you see Mahmoud Abbas, he's the head of the Palestinian Authority, but that's just the beginning of the story. It's not the end of it.
Exactly. That's where when we speak about a two-state solution, Benjamin Netanyahu always speaks about, well, it's a three-state solution because Gaza has actually become a state of its own. Hamas has actually thrown PLO out of Gaza about 10 years ago and ruled since and did whatever it wanted to. So when you look today, even at the reconciliation, it's very hard to believe that it's going to work. And Israel cannot rely and give its security in the hands of Hamas. So,
David, who's within the Hamas, following up what Rami said, you got Fatah, which is supposed to be the more moderate, right? I mean, and they were the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And then you got Hamas, the terrorists. And I think they both have their, you know, these are not, neither one of these groups are moderate. But in practice, as a lawyer, as we deal with, how do you negotiate with a party when the parties aren't unified and it's not a government speaking with one voice?
I mean, what you've touched on is the main reason why, at this stage at least, it's so difficult to go forward with a peace process. Because even if you can agree to reach some sort of agreement with some of the Palestinians. A large number of others will do everything they can to derail the agreement. Now, just to put any doubt aside, Hamas made absolutely clear that in their reconciliation with the Palestinian Authority, they have not in any sense given up their idea of wiping out Israel, even though the Palestinian Authority has demanded this of them. It's not exactly clear on what common ground this reconciliation has taken place. And of course, it's not the first attempt. So whether this will even last is something.
But you need to understand, the reason we're going into it is this is how complex it is. So these are two factions that would fight with each other, that don't have a unified theory on how to move forward. And the end result is, I mean, this is what you have to really look at, is the target is still Israel, and you're trying to start a negotiation with parties that are calling for your extermination.
If you want to talk to us on air, we're live. The number you call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. It's a great time to ask this team of experts questions about Israel. Mary's got one calling from Maryland online, too. Mary, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for all you do. This is just a quick note that I'd like to make. I wish that the government would defund the United Nations to the extent that they are funding this lawfare for the Palestinians.
So we're going to get into the lawfare issue when we come back from the break. It's, you know, in the UN budget, it's not a big number, but it's $18 million. But let me tell you something. As lawyers and government affairs officials that defend Israel and Israel's right to exist and have to deal with these groups, the fact of the matter is, and this is just the fact of the matter, these groups are, it's our money, U.S. taxpayer dollars, are going to the Palestinian Authority, Stuart, to fight us in The Hague.
Well, absolutely. And I think it's getting back to the whole theme. There's so much dysfunction there. And we talk about Palestinian state. You know, the reality is that I think the goal should be peace first between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and then steps to a Palestinian state when they can prove that they can govern themselves. But they're so chaotic, they're so dysfunctional, that if there was a Palestinian state at this place in time, they'd probably have a civil war erupt between the two of them and destabilize the entire region.
We're going to talk more about the region, what can be done, what is being done. The issue is Israel. We want your comments. What do you think the policy should be? 1-800-684-3110. And if you ever had questions, we've got two of our experts from our office in Jerusalem, David Benjamin, Rami Levy. So we want you to call with your comments at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say your support for the ACLJ helps us fund our office in Jerusalem. Your voice right there in the Holy Land. Again, you go to ACLJ.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we got something unique for you today. Our two senior members from our team in our office in Jerusalem are in studio at our media center. Ambassador Rami Levy is with us, and we are talking with him. He is our director general, and David Benjamin, senior counsel for the ACLJ's office in Jerusalem, expert on international law. We were just actually talking about an international law matter, and I think it's worth getting into it. Stuart Roth is here as well, of course, Jordan and I. And we've got some phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. If you've got a question on Israel, this is a great time to ask it because we got the experts right here in the studio. We are constantly, people have been asking during the break about dealing with the UN and the UN funding money, our taxpayer dollars going to the Palestinian Authority, but then then a special designation by the United Nations, Jordan, $18 million to fight lawfare, in other words, to engage Israel in international tribunals, a direct grant for them to fight us, basically, in court.
That's right. And I think it goes with what Linda has written in on Facebook, and she wrote, I think it's important for the U.S. to stay in the U.N., even if it's for the sole purpose of standing up for Israel. It's the idea that when the U.N. is sending this money, we're providing, of course, about a quarter of the budget of the U.N. And by the way, that's the official amount. Then we fund hundreds of billions in discretionary amounts to the U.N. So when you said that maybe we're paying for a few million dollars, really the U.S. is the reason why the Palestinian Authority gets $18 million. It's not that we're paying for just maybe a few percent, because the U.N. would not have these kind of discretionary funds to use without the billions over the 20% of their funding that we receive. So I think what ultimately people must understand is that it is worth being there, yes, for the Security Council veto, obviously. That is something you're never going to give up as a superpower in the world. But we can do a lot more, especially with a favorable administration, someone like Nikki Haley at the UN, Ambassador Haley, to rein in and say, you know what, we're not going to fund UNESCO anymore. We're going to pull out of these separate agencies that have done things where we have made threats in the past but not taken action.
Well, I mean, UNESCO basically says the temple site is not a Jewish site, it's a Muslim site. I mean, this is absurd. But something David Benjamin said during the break, and you need to understand this, folks, we are constantly, when I mean constantly, there is not a moment that goes by where our office in Jerusalem, in conjunction with our offices here, are not drafting legal documents defending Israel's right to exist. Right now, in fact, we've got three projects that we're working on simultaneously. One on dealing with the International Criminal Court in The Hague and the lack of jurisdiction over Israel. The second, dealing with the Israeli military justice system, so that's called complementarity, so that the ICC has no authority to oversee any of this. Third, there's this whole, you know, the left is trying to bring this, Israel's an apartheid state, so we're having to deal with this. But David, I think it's important for people to understand that the legal work that we're doing out of your office in conjunction with our U.S. office is literally constantly ongoing. And you said the claims we're having to respond to are really absurd.
Some of them are absurd. In fact, you're never prepared to respond to such allegations. Ethnic cleansing is a good example. The Palestinian population over the years since 1948 has only increased several times over. So it should speak for itself that cannot be. Apartheid, as you know from my accent, I was actually brought up in South Africa before I immigrated to Israel. I can tell you from firsthand experience, there is no connection between what's in going on in Israel and apartheid. And that should be obvious to anybody who's an objective observer. Yeah, we have to deal with these sort of things.
But Stuart, we've been dealing with this for a long time. And when I say, I mean, I was on the phone with our senior counsel, Skip Ash, yesterday, going through three projects. We're responding to a 700-page complaint from the Palestinian Authority that we don't get to see. And that's how it works in these international tribunals. We're responding to something, you don't get to see the document you're responding to.
Well, the hostility towards Israel around the world in these international tribunals is unbelievable. And the UN is one of them. The Human Rights Council, which is outrageous, which almost exists for the sole purpose of condemning and passing resolutions against Israel. And we do have to watch our tax dollars. You know, we're all talking about tax reform and what this tax reform proposal is doing for this group or this group. But we all know we're all contributing to the UN. And part of those funds are being contributed to causes that are such that they're against the state of Israel. They're denying the state of Israel its civil and human rights to exist as a nation, as a sovereign nation. And those are things that we need to pay attention to. You know, the UN wouldn't exist without the United States,
right?
Because they tried it before. It was called the League of Nations. It didn't work out too well because the United States was not a party.
Yep.
David, I mean, this goes to the heart of what we're discussing with the funding. from Louisville, Kentucky, is calling in on line three. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate all that you do.
Thanks.
I've got a couple questions for you. If the U.S. is going to help fund the U.N.,
yeah,
can we decide to designate where that money goes just a little bit?
You know, first of all, it's a great idea. Here's the problem. When you walk into the U.N., let me tell you something. You have no – I'm just being honest with you. Somebody – we've been an NGO at the United Nations for over a decade. You have – and Jordan could address this – no idea where your funds are going.
No, it is –
I mean, no idea.
It's like you're literally – the vast hall, you're going into this vast vault of how does this even work? How do the lights run? How does this operate? The door – you know, who gets an office and where? I mean, it is – again, it is bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy. I mean, getting a pass, even if you already have meetings scheduled, I mean, it could take hours or it could take 2 minutes. And again, it's we just had an event with Israel at the United Nations over the summer in New York, at the UN in New York. And literally they knew about 1,000 people were coming. They opened up one magnetometer. And of course, and the Israeli government, which was sponsoring this event, official UN member state, had to push to get another magnetometer so that you could get more people who were standing outside in 90 degrees in New York inside so that the event could start on time. That's the UN in a nutshell. Now, I guarantee you, if this was the Gulf states having a joint meeting and everybody was coming together to celebrate Dubai, every magnetometer would be working. No one would be waiting in line. No pushing and shoving from the UN police. I'm not kidding about that.
Yeah.
Pushing and shoving people in suits and ties because of the animus towards, I think, obviously Israel. And by the way, let's not forget, animus towards our – we may be a major funder, but as much as we are, there's a lot of animus towards the United States as well there.
Absolutely. Interesting. Ted Cruz from Texas said he will continue to press all legislative – answers David's question – all legislative options to ensure U.S. taxpayer dollars are not used to implement, facilitate, or carry out – discriminatory plans against undermining Israel. But let me tell you what we can't rely on. We don't have the luxury of relying, Rami, on legislative enactments. We have to be aggressive and proactive in the defense of Israel. That's something that you've been talking. We've been talking about this for 20 years. We have to stay at the front lines defending Israel's right to exist.
Exactly. And, you know, in the past 9 years since we opened the office in Jerusalem, the actions of the ACLJ have been received by the Israeli government in a way where there is a need for your work, and we cannot stop doing the aggressive work at the UN, at the ICC, and everywhere else because it's a part of Israel's strength.
All right, we're going to be taking a break. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, go over to Facebook. You're there, or ACLJ.org. A lot of ways to get it. Of course, a lot of your stations are carrying it. We're also taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's a unique day here in our media center. We've got two of our leading leaders, really, the two leaders of our office in Jerusalem, Rami Levy, Ambassador Levy, and, of course, David Benjamin, who's our senior counsel in our office in Jerusalem. Responding to a complaint by the Palestinian Authority and under the International Criminal Court in The Hague, the Office of the Prosecutor, you don't necessarily get to see the actual document, but respond anyways. All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684. I laugh when I say it because it's so absurd, but that's the reality of what we're dealing with. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. 800-684-3110 and ACLJ.org. If you want to participate in that matching challenge campaign, we'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.org.
on Twitter asking you this question. How important to you is our nation's support of the state of Israel, the Jewish state of Israel? And we want you to participate that at hashtag Israel. Also, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me reintroduce everybody. We've got a unique situation today. We're actually filming later today in our media center a documentary in a roundtable about Israel that will be released next year. But since our team was here, we thought, hey, let's get everybody on radio and TV today. So in our studios with us are Ambassador Rami Levy. Rami and I have worked together since 2002. So a long time, almost over 15 years, we've worked together. David Benjamin is our senior counsel in our office in Jerusalem. We've worked together now, David, how many years? 5 years?
Since 2009.
Stuart Roth, who I've been working with since the first day of law school, 400 years ago. And Jordan, who I was responsible for his birth in part. So there we go. Which means, well, I mean, I don't want to take all the credit. Your mother gets a lot of the credit. Yeah. Anyways, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's on Israel, and that's the issue we're talking about. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. People have been waiting. Again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Bill's calling in from New York online, too. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Good morning and blessings. Shalom to our Israeli brothers. And I just want to state this, go back to the forensic, economics of this issue. You know, the United States says, if these are our taxpayers' dollars, and I know that it's a non-transparent pit where our money goes into, but why, as taxpayers, why are we not making move with the ACLG? Why are we not making moves to stop the funding? And then, the Bible talks about in Ephesians 5, to know your enemy.
Yep.
We will know our enemy if the funding still can. And then with a POTUS 45, a guy like him, we would be aggressive to take the fight to our enemy.
Well, let me tell you what we do know. I mean, it's a good question, Bill. So we know the exact amount of money that's going to these. So this is what they call it, by the way. And this is why you got to be so careful. They call it strategic framework. And this is, you want the exact number? $18,124,000. Now, that is going to the Palestinian Authority's strategic framework to basically, which means 20-something percent of that's coming from the United States. See, it's not a huge number in our U.S. budget or U.N. budget, but it's, $3, $4 million of U.S. taxpayer dollars going to the Palestinian Authority so they can then litigate against Israel, which we're defending. So we're taking our money, giving it to the Palestinian Authority, David, so that they can sue, so that we can then respond, except we don't get to see the document they filed.
You know, the big irony, Jay, is that I've never had the impression that the Palestinians are lacking for funds to carry out lawfare.
Right.
So this is just a bonus for them. The other thing I'd like to point out is that, now if there really is a Hamas-Fatah reconciliation and both of them are going to be part of the Palestinian government, then money going to the Palestinian government, your tax dollars, so to speak, will be potentially going to Hamas, too, who are partners in that government.
So, and that's to the tune of $250 million to $500 million a year could well be going to Hamas. Now, we talked about the phrase lawfare, and some of you may not know what that is. That is utilizing the legal system. It's a form of warfare. Utilizing the legal system to delegitimize your enemy. In this particular case, to delegitimize the state of Israel. And we have written about it. We have argued it. We have done cases on it. We just won a case in the U.S. District Court, a big case. Went on, a 200-page complaint filed against a lot of pro-Israel groups, Israeli foundations, Israeli businesses. We defended the Gush Etzion Foundation, was successful in federal court. But, Stuart, the battle goes to federal court, on this.
Yeah, the battle went to federal court. We've been in federal court. We've been at the International Criminal Court. Cases are continually being brought against Israel, and they're really targeting the legitimacy of their existence. And that's the theory of law that's being brought.
Yep.
It's not a gripe. It's not a claim. It's not limited. It's basically exponential. It goes back, some of these complaints, Jay, go back 50 or 60 years of claims against Israel and their sovereignty.
We're going to talk more about lawfare when we come back from the break. We got a lot more calls to take. 1-800-684-3110. How important is it to you that we, the United States, support Israel? Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take more calls and comments too.
And Linda on Facebook just wrote in, we visited Israel 2 years ago. Never felt a second of fear while there. They have incredible police and military. Would visit again without a doubt. And I think that's most people who have visited there. Thoughts as well. We'll be right back with you. 1-800-684-3110 to answer your questions and your support for Israel. 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. So we've got a unique situation in studio today. We've got two of our leaders from our office in Jerusalem, Ambassador Rami Levy, who's our director general, and David Benjamin, senior counsel for our office in Jerusalem. I wanted to go, and it's a question I'm asking our audience, and we want you to comment on this. How important is it for you, our audience, that the United States supports Israel? We want to hear from you on that. You can call us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You can also post your comments on Facebook and Twitter. But again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Let me go to Rami, to you on this, because you were Ministry of Tourism, served in the military. You've served in various ambassadorial posts. So you've been a diplomat. How important is the support of the United States and the faith community for Israel?
Well, I want to say that the survival of Israel is dependent on the support of the United States, but also we need to remember that the state of Israel is very important for the United States. If you look at the Middle East region and the stability of Israel as a democratic country and a country that has the same values that the U.S. has, Israel is a kind of an aircraft carrier for the U.S. Israel develops a lot of technology, missile technology, intelligence that it collects that helps the United States as well. So I think the friendship and the bond is forever and important to both countries.
David, from your perspective, what do you look at the biggest geopolitical challenge right now facing the state of Israel? If you were to look at the big, I mean, there's a lot of challenges. What do you think is the biggest geopolitical challenge?
I think in one word, it would be Iran. Mm. Iran. And just to back up what Rami said, Israel is at the front line facing Iran. And Iran, just remember, the great Satan is America, not Israel.
Right.
Israel is just a stepping stone on the way. Sure. It's what Iran's doing, an incredibly destabilizing, destructive force in the Middle East.
How present is Iran in the region right now, as far as what you've been able to determine?
Well, the troubling development of recent months, years, is that Iran is steadily building up its force in Syria. It's importing Shiite militias there. It's bringing people in actually to live there. People criticize Israeli settlements, but actually Iran has been resettling people into these areas to try and to create a dominance. We have a very substantial presence of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards in Syria. This is a major, very troubling development.
Yeah,
and it's one of those issues. You know, as ISIS suffers more and more losses on the battlefield, though we still experience their terror internationally, Iran, though that benefits the United States, it also does benefit Iran and those Revolutionary Guard who are there backing up the Assad government. And that was one of the key issues where the Obama administration, I go back to this, who would not engage. Remember the red line. And it's because they could not get their hands around, okay, but if this, then this, and if not this, then that. Instead of saying, listen, you got to start with one. Okay, we got to get rid of ISIS. That is still being done, but it's almost done. I mean, on the battlefield, there will still be ISIS, I believe, the terror network for probably many years to come. But then the next question is, what happens with, does the U.S. just say, okay, that we've done this in Syria, but now Iran has gone from propping up Assad to, as David said, putting the Revolutionary Guard in place. And then, of course, we saw in Lebanon a prime minister leave because of Iranian influence. And, of course, through Hezbollah, has left, could not govern, was not safe. So you write down, Yemen, Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq right now are being colonized by Iran.
And we've looked at this, Stuart, we've looked at it from our domestic standpoint, out of our offices in Washington and our work in New York, that the Iranian threat, I mean, we've written a book about it, is significant and growing.
Well, absolutely. And I think where Iran's threat is really troubling, and Rami and David could speak to this, is their support for Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is a real threat, much more of a threat than Hamas because of their military capabilities. And now Hezbollah pretty much has an entire country to operate in, and it's called Lebanon. Right. And that's unfortunate because you have Lebanon, you have Syria under the Iranian stranglehold, and they can all import all of this sophisticated military weapons. And of course, Iran now has all the money and resources and ability to create all of these advanced weaponry and go straight into Lebanon, right on the border with Israel.
So, Rami, when you look at that, we've been, you and I have been up to that. You've been there many times, but I've been with you on the northern border with Lebanon. How, following up on what Stuart said, how big of a threat is the situation in Lebanon right now? It's being destabilized, obviously, but how big of a threat is that for Israel?
Well, if you remember in 2006, when I was still an ambassador for the Israeli government, I called you and told you that we need your help with the State Department and with the President of the United States in order to stop the travel warning.
Yep.
The travel warning was because a few Zilzal missiles, which are able to reach Tel Aviv, were put into, declared actually by Hezbollah, they're going to shoot into Tel Aviv. At the time, Hezbollah had 15,000 missiles. Today, they have 150,000 missiles.
Wow.
Not just missiles.
Well, I want everybody to hear that again. 15,000 10 years ago, basically. 100 and how many now?
150,000 now, but not just missiles. They have GPS systems on some of them, on dozens of them. That means they can hit within a few yards away from a target that they're aiming at. So it could be strategic facilities such as electricity, electricity facilities or military bases, etc. The other problem that we're facing is that Hezbollah has put tens of thousands of missiles inside homes in different villages in southern Lebanon, which, again, we can go back to what we faced in Gaza and talk about the lawfare that they're trying to prevent Israel from hitting this missile.
Yep.
So the threat from Hezbollah is huge. I want to add one more thing about Iran and Yemen. One of the things that we have to understand, Iran's big plan is also to stop the oil from flowing into the West. They're taking over Yemen through the Houthis in order to block Bab al-Mandab port. And to stop the oil flowing from Saudi Arabia to the West. So if we look at going back to Lebanon, Israel in the next war will have to face 150,000 missiles targeted at its civilians. I want to share with you one thing that is personal. My father just had a stroke a few weeks ago. What I've done in his home, I had to build a bomb shelter inside the house, a room that became a bomb shelter, because now he cannot. And we know that the next war is going, the cities of Tel Aviv and the major cities in Israel are going to be bombarded.
I want to ask this to David, because I'm following up with both Stuart and Rami said, and that is Hamas and Hezbollah will utilize civilian homes, schools and hospitals as rocket launching points. Then if you were to counter that by trying to knock those rocket points out, Israel gets accused of committing a war crime.
Well, my contention is that lawfare begins on the battlefield in that way. It's a win-win tactic for Hamas, Hezbollah. Use civilians as human shields. On the one hand, it's likely to deter attacks. On the other hand, if attacks take place, inevitably they have to take place. Israel has to defend itself. We're talking about a scenario where 1,500 missiles a day fall on Israeli population centers. Israel will have to defend it in a massive and very rapid way. Not sure how much time there will be to even warn civilians in that scenario. Actually, a catastrophe that I hope we will never have to see. And of course, yes, at the end of the day, there's benefit to be had by Hamas, Hezbollah, to blame Israel for the civilian casualties.
Yep.
Yeah, one thing I want to add is that a lot of our audience has heard us speak about Hamas, and we've had various different engagements Israel has with Hamas in the Gaza war. But Hezbollah is a different type of enemy, because Hamas had very primitive, and they have very primitive...
Yeah, they were not an army.
Yeah,
not the same extent.
Yes, yeah. Missiles and weaponry compared to Hezbollah. Hezbollah has very sophisticated weapons coming in from Iran, a free flow of weaponry, and very sophisticated. So it will be a totally different war, and it will really threaten Israel significantly, all its high population centers.
I mean, Jordan has experienced firsthand, I mean, what it's like when a rocket's coming in. I mean, you've experienced it.
Yeah, you were in a shelter.
we were in a car. Benjamin Netanyahu, you were in a car. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, and that was at a time, again, when the rockets were much smaller. So we know that since that time period, the rocket power, it's not just the amount of rockets, it's the range, it's the impact they can have. They are more sophisticated. They are certainly from Iran. I mean, at one point, these were rockets that, you know, after they had been exploded, you could hold up in your arms. That is not the case anymore, necessarily. I mean, these are now much more long range. Tel Aviv being in range, Jerusalem in range. Those were short range. We were right on the border with the Gaza Strip. So, again, and then you combine what Hamas has to then what Rami's talking about with what Hezbollah has, and you have now the entire state of Israel covered by short range military weapons. So, yes, nuclear is a big long term threat, but the short term threat is a nation. Which has got all these countries and terror groups pointing missiles at them. And we can't really fully ever understand what that is like as Americans, even with the terror that we experience here in our own country.
All right, we're going to be back with your calls in the last segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. How important is it to you that the United States stand with Israel? 800-684-3110. Also, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ helps us all over the world. We get a matching gift for it. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go right to our phones. We've got our experts from Israel here in our studio. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, Paul's calling in from North Carolina on line one. Paul, welcome to JSecio Live.
Oh, hi, how are y'all doing today?
Good, sir.
Yeah, I called because I saw the live feed, so I called because you said you wanted. I think personally, it's very important that we keep our stand with backing Israel, because I'm an average watcher and I've been watching the news and I actually read the resolutions and it's almost like the entire UN just decided to go ahead and say, okay, yeah, we need to get rid of Israel or something. It's like, it's ridiculous.
There are more anti-UN resolutions on Israel than all other resolutions combined. And you got some of the world-leading dictators and humanitarian human rights abusers in the world sitting on the Human Rights Council. So, I mean, this is one of the issues that continues to happen.
Yeah, I mean, listen to U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, make this exact point, bite number eight.
I went to Israel to see firsthand the country the United Nations spends half its time on. Unfortunately, I'm not kidding. It's ridiculous. It seems like the rough breakdown at the UN is half the time on Israel and half the time on the other 192 countries.
I mean, there you have it. I mean, this is the absurd nature of what we're dealing with. Stuart, you're shaking your head. We've actually counted the resolutions.
Well, you look at some of these countries that are on the Human Rights Council that are governing it and passing resolutions against Israel. Those countries are systematically abusing their citizens and have done so since their origin for decades and decades, denying them rights, denying them free speech, denying them all sorts of humanitarian aid. But yet they'll pass a resolution on Israel because they don't like the fact that Israel built a community outside of Jerusalem while they are executing their own people for practicing their own religion if it's different than Islam. It's unbelievable.
You know, David, we talked about the International Criminal Court in The Hague and the impact that that has had. And as I said, we were successful in the first major round on that with a lot of legal work by lawyers. We got a team from all over the world. But your concern is that, again, while we're still working on it, folks, when you're not hearing about it, because you're concerned that the direction of the ICC, and that's part of the United Nations body, is a concern for Israel and should be a concern for anybody that looks at due process or fairness.
Well, one of the concerns flows from the fact that the ICC is often criticized for concentrating on Africa. Most of the defendants are coming from Africa. And so maybe there'll be a motivation to kind of balance that out and look for a possible target outside, even if only to satisfy the critics. Now, of course, I think it's quite obviously the lowest hanging fruit outside of that part of the world is Israel. It's an easy target. It's cost-free. You can attack Israel. You can criticize Israel. You can bash Israel. It's totally cost-free.
Yeah.
And it has all sorts of political benefits.
So what we're having to do is continue. As I said, we've got three major projects going on right this moment. I mean, we are handling them right now. And basically responding to documents you're not even seeing. But we know generally what they're going to argue, so we're able to do it. All right, you want to take another call?
Yeah, we can take another call. But I think, you know, it's important to make the point. It was long and often said that Israel's on the front line of the terrorism that wants to attack the U.S. And then now we're experiencing a lot of that terrorism here in our own country as the sophistication of these terror networks has grown. But Israel's still very much on the actual front line. I mean, Syria, where ISIS is based, is bordering Israel. It's not bordering the United States of America. But Israel is also on the front line now, I'd say, this part two of this, with Iran. And though it's always been with Hezbollah to some extent, it's at a totally different level now with this nuclearized Iran. I know our president is working on the decertification process, but that is going to take a big change in the international community to come around and start re-sanctioning Iran to prevent their nuclear program from coming into existence. We can take another call. Ron in Missouri on line two. Ron, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, Ron, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
It's actually Maryland.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Maryland. That's okay. Yeah, so just continue your support of Israel. That's an important country that God has is protecting. It's going to stay there. It's not going to be right. defeated or brought down. We can see the miracles that have God's worked with that country. The six-day war.
I always say Israelis tend to like their war 6 days, maybe 13, longer than that. Now, don't like wars, but if you're going to have them, you know, we don't like, the Israelis tend to not like 15-year wars. But the fact of the matter is, the Israelis have been in a almost, Rami, it's fair to say, there's almost a constant, it's not a declared war, but there's almost this sense of a constant state of war.
We call it the war between wars, which
yeah.
is a constant.
A war between wars. Yes. Yeah, we could explore that when we do our documentary. That's an interesting concept. In other words, you're never not in a situation, David, where you don't have the luxury of not thinking that there could be a military engagement at any moment.
At any moment. Yeah. Literally, that volatile.
Yeah. All right, let's grab one more call here if we can, Jordan.
John in Washington State on line 5. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, John, go ahead. You're on the air.
I just want to let you know how important it is, my wife and I, that the U.S. and you folks in the ACLJ support Israel and whatever needs that they have. God bless you all.
Oh, John, that's very kind. And I will tell you this. It's been our pleasure to do this, working along with Rami now for, I would say, over 15 years. And Rami said at the beginning of the broadcast, a lot of you just joined late, but I think it's important to restate it, Rami, that the work that we're doing, it's ongoing. We don't talk about it every day, but literally there's work going on every single day. I'd venture to say that at any given time, we have 3 to 4 lawyers domestically, in addition to you, David, and Rami on the government side, constantly working on this, because there's always something to do. But the you have expressed to our members, to our donors, the appreciation that the Israeli government, the Israeli people have had for our ongoing efforts these past decades.
Yes, and I'll say it again, you know, from an Israel decision-maker's perspective, if it's the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Justice, Prime Minister's Office, the work ACLJ has been doing in the past years has helped the Israeli economy survive. And that's when we go back to 2002 when I met you first, 2006 during the Lebanon War, when you helped take off the travel warning, 2009 when we started fighting the
ICC,
et cetera, so, you know, if I'll try to simplify and translate the work that ACLJ is doing for Israel, I can tell you I have 2 sons in elite units in the military, and the fact that they can fight is a lot thanks to the work ACLJ has been doing with lawfare. The fact that they can defend themselves and their citizens is thanks to the ACLJ. The fact that Israel in the international arena does a lot of the things it does is a lot thanks to the work ACLJ has been doing.
And that's a huge thank you to our donors as well. And David, you serve still with the military?
As a reservist.
Yeah, as a reservist.
I want to echo what Rami has said also as an Israeli citizen, just to take this opportunity to express my appreciation privately, first of all, to the great nation of America, but also specifically to the ACLJ for all the wonderful work you've done. And it really means so much. Israel really needs friends out there. And to have a friend like ACLJ is fantastic to know you're on our side.
Let me just say this to our members. This was a thank you to you, because we don't get to do this without your support. And you now have seen it firsthand. We have two of our leaders from our office in Jerusalem, your office in Jerusalem, I might say, members of the ACLJ. So your support of the ACLJ is absolutely critical. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Just go to ACLJ.org. Whenever you donate, we get a matching gift for it. But as Jordan will tell you, I'll tell you, I'll let Jordan speak for closing this out. It makes a huge difference, and you heard it from 2 of our experts.
It does, and you have to actually do the work, not just talk about it for our new listeners as well. We do that work. You're seeing our team now in person or hearing them. Make that donation at ACLJ.org. And double the impact of your gift. That's ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.